Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Thank you so much for joining us today for our worship celebration. Wherever you are watching us online, on air, or listening to us via radio, 104.1 Power FM, or any other radio station, or maybe you've tuned into one of our podcasts. Thank you for joining us today. Before I preach God's word, I also want to thank everyone who has come alongside us and sent encouraging words, prayed for us concerning our choir members, adults and children who are confirmed to be with coronavirus. I need to reassure you that their condition is stable and the medical care they're getting is absolutely great, and they will be fine in Jesus' name. So thank you. I just wanted to say that. Well, let's continue to respond during this time with faith, hope, and love. Faith, we have a God who is able to deliver us from this pandemic. Hope, let's not be in darkness like we have no God. No, hope says tomorrow's going to be better. We will come through this season. And love, love cares for the people that are around them, is considerate. Let's do that. Let's follow the guidelines that have been given to us, because those are the ways we express love to one another so that we don't spread this virus. So let's continue to do those things. Well, today we want to continue with our series, Savior King. And today particularly, I'm going to talk about Jesus, our final Passover sacrifice. If you're wondering what the word Passover means, just stay with me. I'll explain it a little later. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And this is Isaiah speaking to the children of Israel and letting them know that God is absolutely willing to help. He's willing to save. And we, his people, are in need of help and salvation. But there is a problem. Sin separates us from God's help, from God's salvation. So how do we deal with that tension? Now, human beings will do different things to try and reach God by doing good. Nothing wrong with doing good, but there's no amount of good works that can deal with the sin problem. Some people will even go to the extent of offering different kinds of sacrifices, and they'll offer chickens or goats or bulls, any kind of sacrifice, trying to appease gods that could try to put favors on them. None of that can ever deal with the sin problem. And so this leaves us in a precarious situation. Man can't do anything to deal with sin. It only leaves us with one hope, one solution, and that is God himself, the one who wants to save us. He's the only one who can deal with that sin problem. So in the Old Testament, this is how God began to deal with some of the sin problem, because sin binds us, sin traps us, sin leaves us in bondage and oppression. And the children of Israel in the Old Testament found themselves in a place of oppression. They were in bondage in Egypt. And so God sent Moses to go and deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, and he wanted to take them to a land of promise, one that would flow with milk and honey. When Moses got into Egypt in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh was hard-hearted, and he didn't want to let God's people go. So God sent 10 plagues, each of them demonstrating his power above any gods. And the final plague, God said that an angel of destruction would come and kill every firstborn male child in Egypt, whether it was from the house of the Israelites or from the Egyptian households. But he provided a solution for his children, the children of Israel. He said to them through Moses, they were to get a lamb, and they were to kill that lamb and then get its blood, put it on the doorposts of their houses. And so when the angel of destruction would come, that angel would see the blood on their doorposts, and that angel would pass over that house. That angel would not bring judgment and destruction to that house. However, if you didn't have that blood of that sacrificed lamb on your door, then the angel of destruction would kill the firstborn child. And that happened in the entire Egypt. And Pharaoh himself lost his firstborn child. And that's the time Pharaoh decided to let go of the children of Israel. And the final deliverance call was that particular sending of the angel of destruction. And so that became a very big milestone for the children of Israel. And God told them, in order to remember their deliverance from Egypt, they were to every year have a celebration where they would sacrifice a lamb to remind them of God's deliverance out of Egypt. And this became a routine, part of the tradition for the Jewish people. Not only that, God also instituted a way that they would appease God when they committed sin by offering animal sacrifices. And all this would do is to appease God, but not remove the sin. So Passover comes from that particular deliverance from Egypt. And then the system of sacrifices was God's way of telling the people, hey, you can appease me for sin through offering these sacrifices. Now, the Old Testament was a shadow of the things to come. In the New Testament, God himself provided the lamb who was slain, and that is our Savior King, Jesus, who came to be the final Passover sacrifice. And that's what I am talking about today. And it's really exciting because this week is a very special week in the Christian calendar, because today, Sunday today, is Palm Sunday, when we celebrate and bring palm leaves and wave them. Now, I know you're home. You may not have your palm leaf. If you have it, I encourage you to get it out and wave it. If you don't have, we all have palms. Just wave your palms wherever you are, because it's Palm Sunday, and happy Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was the day, is the day that commemorates the event when Jesus made his journey to Jerusalem to offer his life for us all. And the people saw him, they shouted, they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so Jesus comes in, goes to the temple. He finds people who are abusing the temple, doing business. He drives them out. He reminds them that his house was meant to be a house of prayer, not a house of taking advantage of other people. He began to teach different parables. He talked about the great commandment of loving God and loving one another. He began to talk about the last days and the judgment that was coming. And then he and his disciples began to prepare for the Passover celebration. It was exactly the same week. God's design was that that week would be the same week that Jesus would give his life so he could become the perfect Passover lamb. So I want to read from Matthew chapter 26, from verses 17 to 29, Jesus and his disciples. And this is what it says. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were very sad, and they began to say to him, one after the other, surely you don't mean me, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who betrayed him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi? Jesus answered, you have said so. Now, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Everything changed when Jesus got the bread, because he was going to introduce something fresh into our relationships with God. So it says, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And after that, the Bible said, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sin. And I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This was no ordinary supper. That's why it was called the Last Supper, the last meal Jesus would have with his disciples, but he made it significant. And today, we do share communion together to remind ourselves of that day when Jesus gave his life, when Jesus offered his life as the Passover lamb from God, the final sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, people kept on bringing sacrifices to appease God for their sin, but God himself decided, "I am going to provide the final perfect sacrifice," and that was his son. He would deal with sin once for all so that the separation that existed between God and man would be dealt with once for all through Jesus. Wow! Hallelujah to God. And so communion was a meal Jesus instituted as a reminder. We don't need to carry lambs. We don't need to offer animals anymore. We just take this meal to remind us about the final sacrifice, which was Jesus himself. So what does the bread mean? Today we're going to break bread together. The bread represents Jesus' broken body. It represents Jesus' death, him taking the punishment on himself, him taking the judgment that we deserved for our sin and being broken and shamed on a cross at Calvary. 1 Corinthians 11:24 says this, "And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, 'This represents my body, which is offered as a sacrifice for you. Do this in affectionate remembrance of me.'" So today, my friends, when we get the bread and break together and eat together, let this bread remind us that Jesus took our punishment. We all deserve to die, but he chose to die in our place. Just like the lamb was offered and he died so that its blood could be put on the doorposts, Jesus died so that we do not receive the judgment that we deserved. He was broken. His body was broken. But secondly, in communion, we take the juice. And this juice is representative of his blood. Verse 28 from Matthew that we read says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus shed his blood so that you and I could be forgiven. Once for all, his blood cleanses us from sin. So when we take the juice, we are reminding ourselves of the precious blood of this incredible Passover lamb, Jesus, final Passover lamb, that cleanses us from sin. And this gives us access to God's salvation. So friends, the price that Jesus paid brings hope to us, brings access to us to God, and comes with so many benefits. And I just want to talk about two of them today, then we shall share communion together and pray. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment," listen, "that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Wow, what a great portion of scripture. Two benefits right there. One is peace. Because of the sacrifice that Jesus paid, we can have peace. Peace with God. We are no longer enemies with God. He has made the way. Sin no longer separates us from God because Jesus paid the price for our sin. So we are friends of God. We are sons and daughters of God. But the other aspect of peace is peace of heart. Oh, in the times that we are living in right now, people are anxious and they don't have peace. We can carry peace every day, knowing that everything is going to be all right. Our God can help. His arm is not too short to save. His ears not too dull to hear. We can be at peace. But secondly, he says, by his wounds, we are healed. Oh, God has the power to heal. He can heal us of our sicknesses. He can heal us of emotional dysfunctions. Name it, God is a healer. He can heal this world of the coronavirus pandemic. He can heal our country of this pandemic. He has the power to heal. Why? Because of the wounds that he bore. He was broken. He bled so we could have peace, so we could have healing. Friends, these and more benefits are ours. They can be yours if you give your life to Jesus, our Passover lamb, our final Passover sacrifice. All you need to do today is to say yes to him. And if that's you, wherever you are, I want to lead you in a simple prayer today, a prayer of inviting Jesus into your heart. And today you can know peace. You can know healing. So if that's you, would you pray this prayer after me, wherever you are? Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you gave your life for me. You died so that I could live. And today, I choose to give my life to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, you are now born again. You are a child of God. You are at peace with God. You can access all these benefits from God. Why? Because Jesus gave his life as the final Passover sacrifice and gave us access. And now I want to invite Pastor Eddie, who is going to come and lead us through communion, and we are going to pray together. God answers prayer. His arm is not too short to save. His ear is not too dull to hear. Because of the price that Jesus paid, he's going to hear us. He's going to answer us in Jesus' name. Pastor Eddie is coming.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.